Ladies and gentlemen, it's some Angry Nation podcast, and a sad one, a somber day, because North Texas football got their asses kicked. And that's the simple way to put it. FAU, 804 yards, 69 points. At one point, they were up 69-17. They scored on the first 11 possessions. They ran for 400-something yards. They had 430 yards at halftime. When you sit down and you're drawing up an offense and you're drawing up a game plan, this is what you're drawing up. This is the ideal. And you don't, maybe you kid yourself a little bit and say, we're going to have to punt. Maybe we're going to have to do some of these other situations, or they're going to get us in a long down situation or something. But we didn't. North Texas didn't do that. And FAU basically went through practice against us. You look at Seth Luttrell afterwards, it seemed to me like he was at a little bit of a loss, which is a little concerning. But, the thing is that it's as simple as FAU just completely dominating the game. And you're like, well, that's not real simple, Adam. Whatever do you mean? Well, North Texas was not that good. We're not that good. And, Seth Luttrell says it every week. We're not good enough to roll the ball out there and play football. We're not. I wrote this week that North Texas was the best team in Conference USA at this point in time because they practice and they prepare like they are not the best team. They came in last week ready for UTSA, ready to play against them, and they came in, excited and well prepared. That's how they needed to prepare for FAU. Now, there's a lot to blame on the North Texas side for this, but I don't think the easy narratives are the right narratives, mostly because FAU had some of the same situations. You look at their situation off of bye week, lots of hype. They were getting gassed up all week. That didn't count? That didn't matter? How come it didn't affect them as much as it affected us? The other part of this is that North Texas has come out a little slowly sometimes. I know the stat is like we scored in the first drive a bunch of times, but we still haven't played a full game. We still haven't played a complete offensive game, a complete defensive game. I think it's important to look at FAU and say, hey, good job. Hey, that was a great job kicking our ass there. Because that was it. That was what they did. They came out and they executed the game plan. I think Luttrell mentioned that they had a better game plan, a good game plan. And some of the players mentioned that they weren't ready to play. There's a lot of this. A lot of these things that people are saying, it's like the immediate reaction of getting punched in the face. And you're like, how exactly did I get punched in the face? Did I not see it? Was I not ready for it? Was I not hungry enough? I think after thinking about it and watching a little bit of the game again, I didn't want to watch too much of it. I just kind of scrolled through it as I was falling asleep last night. It looks to me like this. North Texas came out and prepared for this game as best they could. Seth Luttrell said it was a good, crisp week of practice. But FAU has better coaches? And that's not even a knock on Seth Luttrell or Graham Harrell, because I think Luttrell and Harrell do a good job. And I've pointed that out on Twitter and in blog posts and on podcasts. I think they do a good job preparing for teams. But, we're talking about a national championship-winning offensive coordinator, a guy that's been coordinated a bunch of really good offenses. And I think you could see that. One thing about the Art Briles strain of offense is that it does what it does really well, right? It's like up tempo. We saw that. It's power running and it has options. There's screens, the deep passes, and intermediate stuff. And they're all kind of on the same play, and they force you to be perfect defensively every time. And it's really hard to do that. You saw early on, North Texas was okay there. They were doing all right. But then it got away from them. That first drive, Florida Atlantic took the ball down the field, and they did some, they mixed in some wrinkles, and I think Luttrell mentioned that, some things that you hadn't seen before. But what stood out to me was that they were getting the ball to their tight end, and our cornerback was having to make a tackle. Now, that may seem pretty innocuous, like, oh, well, it's a big deal, we just got to get out there and make a tackle. Well, that's not something you want to do all game. You know, you don't recruit a cornerback, you know, to tackle tight ends very often. It's not really what you want to do. And that's just good. It's good matching up there. That's good offensive football. That's good game planning. And I don't know that we had a similar game plan for them. It looked like, hey, we are ready for North Texas schematically and with this game plan. And North Texas didn't really have any answers. And so if it looked like the players are playing a little hesitant, if it looked like the players didn't know what was happening to them and were looking for answers, that's what happens when your game plan doesn't work, or it looks like they know your game plan when they are inside your business. You get a little freaked out. So that's how I see that. That's what I saw that happen. And everything after that, like how it kind of rolled downhill, that happens too. So I'm a little hesitant, and you know, it's the next morning, I feel a little bit better about the whole thing. I'm a little hesitant to immediately start firing coordinators, as we saw one of my Twitter friends say. Did Troy Reffitt get beat down today? Yeah, he did. He's not going to put this on his resume. When you see, you know, if he, you know, keeps his job, but you're not going to see this in the game notes. Like, hey, Troy Reffitt's defense has got eviscerated. You know, vivisected against Florida Atlantic. So, you know, that's a fun thing about him. You're not going to see that. This is not something he's going to be proud of. And by extension, it's not something any of us are going to be proud of. The players, we're not going to put it on a highlight reel. This was bad. And, you know, hey, look, if you followed college football, if you followed a little bit of Baylor, that is what Baylor was doing to teams at the peak Art Briles football and, you know, at the beginning of their scandal years. You know, 700 yards off. They were averaging 700 yards of offense for a while there, the Baylor teams. I didn't expect, and then I'm gonna, you can go ahead and say, oh, you said we're going to win. Yeah, I didn't expect this to happen. You look at I watched a little bit of FAU, talked with some folks that have watched FAU, read some things. From everything I saw, it was unexpected, because the improvement curve was not like trending so steeply there, you know, like it didn't look like they were going to get this much better. And so then I guess it kind of begs the question, well, was that North Texas just sucking that bad? Yeah, it could be that. It could be that. We said this defense is improving, and it has been. But I saw a lot of what SMU did in this game. And like Chad Morris, SMU's head coach, his offense and the Art Briles offense have a lot of similarities. They like to power run, throw deep. And you know, Chad Morris is a good coordinator. In that SMU game, I think you saw some of the blueprints for beating North Texas. It's like we're gonna max protect and throw deep, and we think we can have success on your corners. Like UAB tried some of that, and then they got they tried some double moves, and they were successful there. And we've been saying, well, North Texas has been better on that. Well, yeah, but Southern Methodist, God, I'm still terrible. Southern Miss was not as good completing passes. They had some open passes. Iowa even max protect or deep. They had some guys open. We didn't even see FAU do go deep that often here, but you know, on their big play, they went 7-man protection, and threw it up, 69-yard touchdown. Kyrie Muhammad was holding him, and you know, it reminded me of the axiom that if you're gonna hold him, if you're gonna commit a penalty, commit the penalty, do it all the way. Don't let him catch it and continue on and get the penalty. That's beside the point. If you look at the play, They max protected, so our five-man rush couldn't get in there. And, I mean, you could blame them. Well, you gotta do better than that defensive line. You got to get in there. Yeah, we got to do that in there. I mean, the answer to a lot of the problems last night is always, yeah, get better players. But sometimes you get schemed up, right? Sometimes that happens. Florida Atlantic's players weren't decidedly better than North Texas' players. I'm pretty sure if we got North Texas players and stuck them in the FAU program for a couple weeks, they would do the same thing to this team here if we switch players for the season. I think a lot of this was on the coaching preparedness. You know, they weren't ready to get Art Briles'd, or in this case, Kid Briles'd. And there's some other things, some Lane Kiffin things that I saw. Like I said, I'm not a super expert, but I've seen a lot of these things before. Lane Kiffin's known for his attention to detail. He's a really good offensive coordinator. One time I saw a thing about like his notes on each of the players, like the opposing defense. He writes detailed notes about them. Like the cornerback doesn't like to tackle. He's scared to do this. Make him do blah blah blah. For every one of the players, like he does his job, and he had 2 weeks to prepare for this North Texas defense that has been, let's say, iffy. It has been, it has shown some weaknesses, is what we'll say. And it looked to me like you had a really good offensive coordinator that identified weaknesses and put his finger there, like he saw some wounds and put his finger in the wounds and pressed his advantage all game. And that's how you, I mean, and had no mercy. And that's how you get, destroyed with 804 yards of offense, 69 points. That's how that happens. I made this point a couple times on Twitter. This is what it's like when you face, like, a real-life FBS coach, a real-life coach that that is really good and maybe deserves to be at a higher level or at least getting paid a lot more. A lot has been made about Frank Wilson and his ability and how he's probably going to go to LSU, this, that, and the other. And, I mean, I think those, whatever. You know, even there was even some like, hey, look out for the Seth Luttrell here. Yeah, I think all those are deserved up to a point. We'll say that. Deserved up to a point. So, we're not going to even just knock those things. I'm not saying that they should never, ever be in a Power 5 coach or something like that. They were deserved up to a point. But we're talking about Lane Kiffin, who has coached at those levels, who has proven that he can lead some of these programs. I mean, he had USC at number three in the nation before it kind of fell apart. He had a bad season. And I'm not even saying that, you know, Lane Kiffin should be whatever. I'm not excusing Lane Kiffin. I'm trying to make a point. My point is this. Lane Kiffin has no mercy, and he knows how to win games. He sees an opportunity to win a game. And he had his team step on our throats last night. And now you compare that with last week, where we got a break. UTSA was 3 yards away from winning the game. And I think if you put that call in Lane Kiffin's hands, Lane Kiffin says, yeah, of course we're going for it. And then North Texas never gets the drive to go back and win it. And that's the difference between a real-life, you know, Power 5 coach, quality coach, and a guy who's getting some hype. Does that make sense? Do you agree with me? You can let me know. We're doing this live, like as you can hear right now. So you can tweet at me, Mean Green Nation. It's the easiest way to get at me. If you're following on the message boards or something like that, I'm not really looking at those. But I mean that's the easiest way to sum it all up, I think. And that doesn't give you a whole lot of answers. You know, you may like, well, that doesn't make me feel better. I mean, we just got a coach. That doesn't make me feel better. I don't feel better because of that. No, neither do I. But I think that's the simplest way to explain a whole lot of things breaking down. I mean, I still think North Texas has better talent, just overall, maybe just a little bit better than FAU. But as you can see, FAU's talent was put in position to win, and they excitedly executed those things. I think you can play fast when you know what you're going to do, right? That's always the case in every sport. I mean, look at North Texas' team the last two seasons. It was comprised largely of players who, you know, played in 2015 and lost 11 games. And you're like, wow, they look like a different team. How did they get so much better? Sometimes when you're better coached and you're better prepared and you believe in the system and you believe in what you're going to do, you play faster, you play better, that kind of thing. This kind of thing happens. And I think a counterpoint was made. Again, hey, yeah, I mean, yeah, you get beat, you know, 500 yards, you know, get beat by 20, that kind of stuff happens, but not, you know, 69 to 17, 800 yards. Yeah, that is correct. But again, I think there's a lot of times that teams can put up bigger numbers than they actually do. And you got to remember that Lane Kiffin is not one of those kinds of guys. He's not really afraid to say, we're trying to win. They didn't need to stop us out here. He's not one of these. Well, we're not trying to embarrass anybody. And you know what? That's fine. It's ugly, and this is fine. FAU is playing really well. I don't know if this happens in different circumstances. I don't know if this happens like. If they're both coming off a bye, if North Texas didn't have to play a really physical game last week, I don't know if, you know, just a lot of different circumstances. If, you know, FAU didn't have 2 weeks to prepare for North Texas, I don't know if this happens. But, you know, none of that really matters because that's the nature of the game. That's how football works. That's how college football works. Everybody understood the stakes before the season. You know that the teams at the end of the schedule are going to be better prepared than the ones in the beginning of the schedule. You know that the ones at the end of the schedule may have more injuries than the ones at the beginning of the schedule. You know this. Everybody starts from the same point, right? So we're not making excuses about it, but we can try to understand it a little bit better. I think the worst part is being baffled, right? Baffled by the situation, the whole thing. That's an ugly feeling. I mean, that's the purpose of the show. That's the purpose of the blogs. That's the purpose of stick a beat writer out there so he can kind of help us understand what's going on. That's the idea here. It's what we want to happen. It's to understand. And, I mean, again, I think this is just a bad loss because of the circumstances. They got out coached. And, I mean, I don't think it's anything to be embarrassed about. Again, you're going up against a better coach who had 2 weeks to prepare against you. And, you know, I think our staff's going to be better prepared for that next time. They're going to learn from that. Maybe they're going to change up the way that they prepare for teams. But having a coach like Lane Kiffin and Art Briles and an offense like that in this league means you have to prepare for it. We already knew that this league had a lot of explosive offenses. I mean, last year, Western Kentucky averaged 50 a game. I think USM something, 30 or 40 a game. And then Middle Tennessee, 30 or 40 a game. You know, this year we're the best offense in the league, or we were. You know, but still, Southern Miss is still explosive. I mean, even last week, ODU had 31 points. I mean, teams can score in this league. Teams can score in college football. That is a known thing. So we need to figure it out. That's what we pay Troy Reffitt for, so he can go and spend all his time thinking about how to stop other teams like this. And, I mean, he's not feeling good, and he shouldn't. You know, that his players are not feeling good and they shouldn't. But I like to reserve most of my criticisms, the majority of criticisms, for the coaches. I mean, because those are the guys we pay, right? Those guys are professional. They're grown men, right? As Mike Gundy would say. And, you know, they deserve that kind of thing. We can yell at them, call them names, because they are public employees, right? And I don't really want to get caught up too much in yelling at the kids just because it just seems silly. But it seemed like everybody played hard up to a point. I mean, and I know Latrell mentioned, he's like, yeah, well, you know, we look like we were most excited to play. But yeah, I guess a little bit. I mean, but that kind of stuff happens. Also, when the other team is, feels like they're unstoppable, when they're running play after play after play, and it doesn't look like our coaching staff has too many answers, when the offense is crap in the bed, yeah, I think it's easier to get down. And I look, I've mentioned this before, I mentioned this before, back in 2015, when we got killed by Portland State. And I said, you know, there were times during the season, that 2015 season, where it looked like the defense had something, but they just couldn't get, they couldn't bring themselves to play for a bad boss, right? I guess the easiest way to put it. And so that kind of thing happens. It's the job of the coaches to motivate the players and get them excited to play. Yeah, every player will tell you that it's your own job to get yourself motivated and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But I will say this. Look, they wouldn't hire coaches if you didn't need coaches, right? If the players could just organize themselves and turn out a winner like that, you know, then you wouldn't need to pay any guys $1 million. We'd just tell the players where to sign up and they'd go out there and play. Coach's job is to motivate and organize. That's their job. So if you see a team that looks disorganized or unmotivated, oh, well, there you go. You know? Whose fault is it? All right, I'm going to take a little break real quick. It's not a commercial break, but I need to, you know, I need to get a drink of water. So give me a couple minutes, guys. All right, folks, I'm back. We are back. It's the Main Green Nation podcast. Live podcast, we're doing it live, and we're commiserating. We're a little sad together. No, I don't think Seth Luttrell should be fired. I saw that. I took a look at the message board, and I saw somebody say that we should fire the coaches. I also saw somebody say, yeah, it's because they brought their wives on board. I also saw somebody say that, I mean, I don't know. You see a lot of ridiculous things said. Look, here's the deal. I don't know if you guys know about like work-life balance, but there's such a thing as burnout. You want to prevent that. We don't have robots coaching, living in hotels like Dana Holgerson. You need some semblance of family. You need some semblance of a life. Otherwise, this thing becomes awful, and you don't want that. And you know, this was not about you know, like, well, I had dinner with my wife out here on the road, and so that's why we got destroyed by eight, you know, by 69 points or whatever. No, that's not what happens here. It's not what happened tonight. This is about preparing for football, and I don't think an extra hour out there was going to solve anything. Lane Kiffin and his coaches had 2 weeks to prepare for North Texas, and they used that effectively. They said over the bye week they worked on their pass game. We saw a little bit of that. I mean, but North Texas already had some weaknesses. Here's another example of how well they were prepared. This is just good stuff. Just things I noticed. Nate Brooks stepped into the game, and immediately, like the first play of the game, Nate Brooks, they sent a double move at Nate Brooks just to test him out. That's good knowing the other team's personnel. That's good attacking. That's good offensive play calling. And they're going no huddle. You know what I mean? They're going no huddle. And they saw it, and then they called it right away. They checked to it. And hey, the dude's out there. Let's run this sluggo route. They were well prepared for our team. And, I mean, again, it's not a matter of knowing, you know, like the players playing hard. Did the FAU players play any harder on that particular play? Did North Texas not play hard on that particular play? No, it's just an example of how FAU was just a little bit better prepared. And so when you're better prepared, you can play faster. I mean, I've been saying this so far on this podcast. And that was all of it to me. That's a lot of it. I mean, I don't know that North Texas is going to get any better defensively this season. And I don't think even next season without an influx of better players. And again, that's not even really to knock the guys that we have, because the guys we have are pretty good. You know, I've sang the praises of Nate Brooks and Eric Jenkins, Kashawn McClain. Kyrie Muhammad has been getting a lot of praise, rightly so. The defensive line has been playing amazingly well up to this point. But, you know, like, they need reinforcements. You need a Bryce English in there, you know. And if you're like, well, no, they don't need a Bryce English. Well, then why did we, you know, give him a scholarship? Yes, we need Bryce English in there. We had a plan to get him more time. Obviously, he's injured. Is that an excuse? No, it's not an excuse. But, you know, when you're looking at how you can make things better, how you can improve, how you can prevent this from happening again, you know, obviously, what do we have already here nearby us? I think the blow it up and hire somebody else, it's not going to, no, it's not going to work. That's inefficient, you know? You have to analyze the whole thing and figure out what the hell happened. Last night, they couldn't get off the field, but it's not like they were getting gashed early. Like, it's not like it was like 70-yard run, 80-yard run, 90-yard run. That happened later. And yes, that happens later when you've already given up a lot of body blows. North Texas took too many body blows to start the game. Brett Vito asked Seth Luttrell, like, you know, what's the deal? I'm not going for it on fourth down there. And he's like, yeah, well, we already knew we were going to do that. We already knew the weakness of North Texas' offense was short yardage, power run stuff. I know we like to go for it a lot, and we believe in that, and that is the right approach. It's the right approach to build that mentality, but North Texas is not good at it. I felt that North Texas missed an opportunity to give the ball to Jeff Wilson more often. I think his first carry got something like 8-9 yards. He had a lot of running room. I don't think that FAU could have handled him, and I felt like we got away from that too quickly. It also looked like Mason Fine was running for his life too early. Like, he was not under that much pressure. And, I mean, you can maybe even ask a question. You probably have to ask him, you know, privately. Hey, playing against Marcus Davenport last week against UTSA when he was destroying you, hitting you every play, did that kind of throw you off a little bit? I don't think he's going to answer that. He's going to give you a nice PR-friendly answer. Like, no, you know, we got to play every game. We got to do a better job. I felt like he was a little skittish out there. Maybe he tried to do his spin-around rollout a little too early sometimes. Sometimes he had more time than he thought he did. And that's a little thing. It really was not the whole reason the team played poorly. But it's a little thing I saw. I was like, yeah, he probably had more time than he thought. And then the one where Jalen Guyton got hit. I think he was running across the field. Mason Fine rolls left and sets up, fires a pass to Jalen Guyton. It's a bit high. If he places that better, if he keeps it low, keeps it on near the ground, that's a first down. Jalen Guyton can catch it, not get blasted by the defensive back. And, you know, we have the ball. We live to fight another day. As it was, we had to, I think on that one we had a punt, but just a lot of bad for North Texas. Interception, the fumble, the punt on the first possession. There was an interception a little bit later before the half. We're trying to go for it. There was I think there's just a four and out or whatever it was. I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. I don't have the stat sheet in front of me, but a lot of bad stuff that can be corrected. What I'm getting at is, like, I think if the offense played better, that would have helped the defense out. But we were putting the defense in bad positioning. And if your immediate reaction is to look at time of possession, like, well, Adam, time of possession was pretty similar, especially in the first half, 16 minutes to 13 minutes. I think you're forgetting that the way that Florida Atlantic plays is a different kind of up-tempo, or it's a different kind of possession than the other kinds, right? The ones where they just keep the ball and they make you run, like the way Iowa's running it, or even UTSA. Those are a little bit easier to defend because you can sub out and you can prepare yourself. It's still physical. It's still tough, and it's still difficult to defend a team for four quarters in that way. But it's a different kind of defense. It's a different kind of conditioning you need. The one that we saw last night is like up-tempo. You don't ever get a break. And you don't even get to mill around and break because you're already lined up. I mean, it's not so new, right? I feel like I'm describing something that we all understand right now. But you can see it that, you know, a lot of people were pointing out he has hands on hips, this kind of thing. They were getting tired. And I think the evidence of that was how terrible our goal line defense was, because by then, the defense was just gassed. They had nothing left in them. And that's how, you know, I was talking about how well the Florida Atlantic team is inside the 40, scoring touchdowns. It's because once they get into that point, they can just run their offense, and you're just tired that you can't defend them. You know, you can't get the push that you need earlier on. We did a good job on the very first couple plays of wrapping up the runners. Later on, when they were dancing through us and getting big yards, and then you saw the 80-yard plays, that was because they were tired. And again, I don't really want to hear, well, they got to do a better job conditioning. Yeah, yeah, yes. That's all part of it. But, I mean, it's like a boxer. You can be well conditioned. But if you go out there and throw haymakers, you know, in the first round, you're going to be more tired than if you have a game plan. No excuses here. It's just, you know, like we needed better performance from the offense early. We didn't get that. And we put the defense in a bad spot. And the defense was playing not so great. I don't want to say they were playing very poorly early on, but they were not playing great. Later on, second half, yes, definitely poorly. Second quarter, poorly. You know, you can't blame tired legs when you get beat for a 69-yard TD pass. You can't blame, you know, tired legs for when you're allowing allowing players to just continue running through tackles. Later on, maybe, yeah. But, I mean, you know, the game was over by then anyway. I see, we got a question. Two questions. I have one question. What exactly do you think Littrell said in the locker room after halftime after the game? I think he yelled at them. I think he, you know, questioned their mentality. He questioned their, you know, their desire to win. I think pretty standard stuff. I don't really know what you do at that point, because I don't know if it was like a mentality kind of thing. You know, like, I think one continuous thing that we've seen from North Texas is a pretty decent effort level. There's a couple times when they come out and you're like, what the hell, guys? Like UTEP 2016. That looked like a what the hell game. But, I mean, a lot of times it's like mental mistakes. So it's not like effort level. They're trying really hard, but they're not, you know, they don't trust their discipline or something like that. I mean, like, again, Nate Brooks was touchdowns there. Was he not trying hard? Was he not engaged? No, he was engaged. He was just trying to make a play, but one that was outside of his coaching parameters, right? So you can say, well, that's not good effort at staying in discipline, whatever. You're just kind of getting into semantics there. I don't think it's really beneficial. You get a whole lot of benefit from trying to figure out why, like, how exactly they were unmotivated or something, or if it was just, like I said, I think it was just poor preparedness. You're not prepared right. You can't play fast. And there were no answers. There were no adjustments ready. When you don't have adjustments, then you just have to get lucky, I guess. I don't know. The second one, lining up under center has not been good for the Mean Green. They might be 1-for-3 in good plays when under center. Yeah, this is a thing that is, I really think it's a function of the offensive line. I think what Chip Kelly said one time that, you know, you have to, the way, like, if you practice something, that's how it's going to be. If you can't just expect, like, the quarterback exchange, and he was talking about, like, the mesh point in a zone read. You can't just expect that to be good. If you don't practice that, then it's not going to happen right. Just all the little things that you need to practice, that you need to rep. And obviously North Texas doesn't really rep going under center that much. And so you can't really expect it to do well. You know, like the way it happened, the way it played out was bad. And I think it was a fumble. He stepped on Mason Fine's leg, and so Mason Fine turned, and it was a fumble on the handoff. That's the kind of thing that will happen if you don't practice it that often. But, I mean, I don't know. I don't know how you kind of do want to mix it in there occasionally just for you know, variety. But, yeah, I don't know that I would do that anymore. Let's try something else. But then, so then, what are your other options? All right, what is the something else? We've tried a lot of other things, you know, doing a pistol, having like an H-back in there for blocking, trying to get some push on short yardage, and we have been unsuccessful every time. We're not very good at short yardage running, and I mean, I think that's just a function of the offensive line being young and still not being that greatly fit for this offense. Is that a nice way to put it, you think? Somebody said Charlotte ahead of ODU football is embarrassing. Oh, the Conference USA standings. We have more to talk about in this game, I think, but I feel like I'm kind of repeating myself. So if you have questions, if you have anything, let me know. like tweet at me or something, and I will talk about it. What do you mean now? All right, look at that. Live troubleshooting on the podcast. What was I saying? So if you have questions, you have something to say to me, let me know. Because other than that, I'm kind of out of things to say about this game. We can get into detail. Yeah, we can get into detail. We could talk about the specifics of like how exactly they got beat every play. But again, I don't know that we're going to learn too much from that, especially on this podcast right now. Like, the only way to get better at this is to go back and watch the game and learn some things that way. That's it. I think, what is it now? You see a whole lot of the tweets about picking up and moving on. This is why they have those 24-hour rules. Like, you enjoy it for 24 hours and you move on, right? You let it affect you for 24 hours and you move on. Everybody talks about this. Everybody mentions this. I think what sucks in football is that you can't get up and play right away. In basketball, you get a quicker game, you get a quicker turnaround to get the ugly taste out of your mouth. But in football, you got to wait a week. And in this case, we have to wait for ODU. We don't even get the same team coming in here to get revenge on them. And like I said, I don't think there's anything wrong with the preparation. I don't know that the team was looking at their press clip-ins and kind of getting hyped about themselves. Only they can answer that. I'm not around them every day. We didn't hear anything from them like during the week. Like the coaching staff, they Seth Luttrell said they prepared well. Everything was crisp. That's good. I mean, and I don't really think that can be an excuse. I said this earlier to start the show. FAU had the same situation. They were getting hyped. They were talking about 2-0. They were coming off a bye, so they were going to do all these things. Everybody was hyped and feeling good at FAU. So what happened? What was it? What, like, they can do that, but we can't. We can enjoy our success, but they can't. I don't think there's anything wrong with enjoying the success that you had, enjoying a big win. That's part of college football. That's part of the fun. There are appropriate times to do that. You don't want to celebrate too long after the touchdown because you got to get back and play the next play, right? Same thing. You can't celebrate a win or a loss revel in ruminate over a loss for too long because you got to get up and prepare for the next week. I think in the post-game presser with Brett Vito, he said as much, Seth Luttrell said as much, you can't let the same team beat you twice, and that's very true. I mean, you say it all the time. You have to give it the appropriate amount of time, appropriate amount of consideration. This was a terrible loss, and we're not proud of it, and we're not going to be excited about it going forward. But we can learn some things. It's a good motivating tool for everybody, from the coaching staff, from the video coordinator, to everybody along the line. This is the kind of game that they got to be better prepared for. They have to have some answers. They got to recruit for this game because even if Lane Kiffin gets hired away, and that's a possibility, we have to assume that he's going to be there for a while. And we have to assume that we're going to see them. And we might not. We might get the rotation where we don't get FAU next time. But if this program goes where it wants to go, then FAU is going to be coming out of the East, right? So there needs to be a plan for FAU. We can't just say, well, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. So this is good. This is good stuff. We can get stuff from this thing. We can prepare for FAU. We've seen them on film. We know what they're going to be. And we have to assume that they're going to be better. That Jason Driscoll, who threw for 357 yards, which is ridiculous. I can't believe they let him do that. But we have to assume that they're going to get quarterbacks that are of the level and the capability to do that every time. You look at the peak Bryles offense at Baylor. The quarterback was throwing for 350 to 400, and the running backs are going for 1 to 200 yards, right? They were averaging 700 yards a game, 600, 700 yards a game. They're doing that every week. So you have to assume that the FAU is going to play at this level every time, and then you have to say, all right, who are we going to recruit? Who are we going to get that can compete with those guys there? Because maybe we are recruiting incorrectly. Maybe we are recruiting for a different kind of defense. And we need to be recruiting for one that can play better. Now that's a ridiculous thing to say. I'm just saying you got to consider everything, right? And this is the kind of game that makes you reconsider everything. We really got to get better on our pass defense. We're really vulnerable there. All those weaknesses that you saw during the year against SMU, Iowa, UTSA. I mean, UTSA did a couple play action plays, and that's how they got 40 plus yard touchdowns, right? That beside the running quarterback converting on 3rd and 17 and 3rd and 14, whatever it was. That was, you know, last week. This week, you know, you can see that FAU saw that and said, you know what, we're going to build that into the game plan. Instead of waiting until 3rd and 14 and running with the quarterback, let's do that early and see if North Texas can stop it. We weren't ready. Driscoll was the leading rusher for a while until their run game got unstuck. And, I mean, that, again, that's a function of game plan there. They did a couple play-action passes, max protect, same way that UTSA did, and they hit some yards on there. They made our cornerbacks tackle. They put Eric Jenkins. Eric Jenkins is great in pass defense, but he's not built to be tackling tight ends every time. But they were making him tackle tight ends, and that's, again, that's good offensive game plan. You put their linebackers in coverage. You put their corners in tackling duty. You know, like that's the way you game plan this stuff. That's the way you make them do things. That shows you that you have a good offensive coach. Now on our side, what did we do? We didn't take full advantage of our best player, Jeff Wilson, and we didn't have an answer for Jalen Guyton being double coverage. Now, really, it was not like we didn't have an answer. We didn't know what to do, but we just didn't do it. And again, I talked about Mason Fine not being able to set up and throw. Did he see something weird out there? I don't know. One, it's hard to see from like a fan perspective. We don't have the all 22, and like the camera was zoomed in. We were like looking at blades of grass in the field. I like sometimes when they threw the ball, the camera would stop, and we just look at the logo and let our imagination fill in the void. Thanks, FAU broadcasters. Let's talk a little bit about the rest of Conference USA. I know all that was actually a preamble to me saying that. I didn't want to talk about this anymore, so now let's talk about this preamble. Let's talk about Conference USA. Charlotte won a game. Charlotte is no longer defeated, I guess, is that what you say? No longer winless. That was they beat UAB in a game that I thought UAB was going to win pretty easily. And, I think that's a surprise for UAB. But, you know, I used to say UTSA was kind of impervious to losing for a little bit there. Like, in 2013, I said, if we beat UTSA here in this game, they're not going to feel it. They're not going to feel the gut punch because, you know, they're going to say, oh, well, we're a new team. Look how good we are. Don't you think we did a good job? Right? So, same thing right here. Like, UAB got beat by Charlotte last night, but they're still going to be like, well, you know, the return is here. The return. Hashtag the return. We feel real good about our team. I mean, look how good we are. Right? So, it's not that bad of a loss, and I think you can see that. But Charlotte did finally get a win, and they went for it. They tried to win the game. They tied it in overtime, and then Hassan Klug ran in. I think they tried the Chicago Bears play, two-point conversion. 25-24 winners. Charlotte beat UAB. That's good, sort of, for us. I mean, we kind of want everybody else to lose in this division. Team that didn't lose in the division and is looking mighty scary, Southern Miss. Southern Miss beat Louisiana Tech, and this is a little scary because Southern Miss only has the one loss to us. And so if we were to fall in another conference game, and that's very possible. I mean, I think I've circled Louisiana Tech as a big game out there in Ruston. That will be as close as we can get at this point in time to getting this ugly taste out of our mouth. I mean, next week, ODU, and we're going to talk about them in a second. ODU is a... They're not that good this season, and a good if we are as good as we think we are, and we say we hope we are, then we need to blow out ODU like going away. We need to kick their asses 42-20, something like that. So, but Louisiana Tech is a good team. They're well coached. They're just kind of young. They have talent out there. They have good secondary. So that's a game that we have to be concerned about, and that has implications for the for the division. Let's see. I got a question. Would I be satisfied with going 7-5 or 8-4 this season, every season, as long as Luttrell is here? I mean, that's a kind of a complicated question. No, not really. I don't think that. I mean, in these two seasons, I felt like North Texas had a chance to get 7, 8, 9 wins each year. I felt like we had a chance, and I still feel like we had a chance to get 8 wins this season. I think I circled 9 because I thought we could lose at Louisiana Tech. Oddly enough, I think we're, you know, like FAU is better than we thought, and Louisiana Tech's not as good as I thought. That kind of stuff happens every year. But Conference USA, even the very best teams are not so much better than the worst teams that anything can happen. And that is within the larger college football, which is similar in its ridiculousness. Shit, stuff happens like that all the time. So 7-5, 8-4 every season? No. I think there has to be mixed in a couple of seasons where you're like, this team is really good and they can do damage, and a team that can threaten to go 1 or 2 losses. Like maybe you lose against a P5 team, but no. The short answer, no. But I think you're saying, hey, if we're just good but not great every year, as long as Luttrell's here, no. I think the job of the coach is not only to build a good football team, but to build a good football program. And I think a good football program is not a 7-5, 8-4 team every year without kind of, you know, having a higher point and a little bit lower point. There's going to be some times where we go maybe 6-6 or something like that. And that's okay. Like Louisiana Tech right now. Should they fire Skip Holtz or something like that? No, this is fine. But you expect them to be better next year. And then the third year, fourth year of this particular class, once they reach senior status, they're going to be really good. That's what you expect. I mean, they're coming off a really good team. So hopefully that makes sense. Thoughts on keeping Mason Fine in the game so long when there was a chance for a comeback? Obviously, injury is a concern, and he did get dinged up. I mean, I understand why. I understand the philosophy that you're like, this guy's a guy, he's going to play the whole game. He would be playing the whole game anyway, you know, so why wouldn't he play the whole game? You know, he practices to play the entire game. This is what we want him to do. What is a big deal? Well, the blowouts kind of get weird. They get a little chippy. And, I mean, football in and of itself is a dangerous game, and you don't really want to increase the chances of a very vital piece of your team getting injured. So I would have pulled him. I kind of believe, and this is probably from watching a lot of Spurs basketball, I believe in protecting your players and kind of keeping them, you know, safe and happy and you know, live to fight another day. And I don't know that I agree with that decision, but I can understand the thinking behind it. And I think the other part is that we didn't really have, I mean, Quinn Shanbor is not in the development pipeline. I mean, yeah, you can get him reps or something like that, but, you know, if we had a younger, you know, redshirt sophomore back there, yeah, let's get him some reps. Let's get him some game experience. But I don't know that North Texas has that at the current point in time. And so, you know, like, I could see that there's, like, no benefit that are – the guy playing right now is a sophomore, true sophomore, and any live reps are good, even blowout ones, and that you might learn just as much there. And, you know, I think somebody even tweeted, some FAU fan, you want to get his confidence up. That kind of stuff is, you know, it goes into it. I disagree, but I don't think what they did is bad. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't be my thing, but also nobody's paying me, you know, a couple million dollars to coach a football program, so. And that's because I don't know what I'm talking about. I think that's it for the question. Let's go back to the conference stuff. UT San Antonio, 20-7 winners over Rice. I watched a little bit of this game. UTSA didn't so much dominate this game the way you expect. And I think you can take two things from it. If you're like a full-on UTSA skeptic, you say, that team wasn't good. And then it makes you feel bad about North Texas' win because you're like, we struggled with a team that's not even that good. I also think it could have been that it was such an emotional game, such a draining game, that they didn't come out and play well. And there's evidence to support that kind of thing. You know, football is an emotional game. And, you know, that kind of stuff happens. You know, like you play really well in 1 week and then you come out and you just don't have anything ready. I mean, look at Oklahoma, right? Oklahoma had a big emotional win over Texas in the Texas OU game. And, you know, they were 42-35 winners over Kansas State. They had a rally in that one. Yeah, that kind of stuff happens. Oklahoma State, 13-10 winners over Texas. That, you know, you see how, like, that stuff happens. It's not just us. It could be that, you know, UTSA just gave everything they had. They were emotionally drained. And even if they prepared well and played better, all they had was, you know, a 20-7 win in them. And, you know, on our side, North Texas side, that could explain some of the reaction. We played as best we could. We looked crisp, but we just didn't have 110% to give because we used it last week. And, I mean, I don't know. Like, you play the game in front of you, give everything you have in the game in front of you, and you don't worry about the next week, the upcoming week, right? It's what everybody talks about. It's what Seth Luttrell's talking about. So I wouldn't really trade it. I think a win in front of your home fans, make some memories. That drive was amazing. I wouldn't trade that for a better performance in this FAU game. You know, you give everything you have in the game that's in front of you, and then you move on. And I realize, having said that, I just argued for leaving Mason Fine in the game, right? I mentioned Southern Miss. Southern Miss, double overtime win. They look good. Again, I'm a believer in Southern Miss. I think they kind of figured out some kind of quarterback situation. Keon Howard is playing really well, even if he's not quite the previous guy they had there. I forget his name right now. And then, all right, the Friday games, Marshall 38-10 over Middle Tennessee. I mentioned this before. I think, you know, North Texas, if we were going to win against FAU, it was going to be because our offense executed and we were able to make Florida Atlantic do some things that they weren't quite ready to do. Obviously, that didn't happen. But Middle Tennessee's, they're not as good as they once were, but I think everybody kind of thought maybe Middle was going to play a little bit better in this game, and they didn't. 2 weeks from now, on the 3rd of November, FAU hosts Marshall. And that game is essentially for the East Division. That's going to be huge. Right now, Marshall is 6-1, 3-0 in conference. FAU is 4-3, 3-0 in conference. That's going to be pretty, pretty, pretty huge. Meanwhile, Western Kentucky, like, out-dueled Old Dominion. And I don't know what you want to call that game. That was, I think all the Friday night games are weird. You get a lot of weirdness in those things because it throws everybody off on their routine of preparation. But Western Kentucky won 35-31. I think this is more of a case of Old Dominion just kind of jumping up and thinking that this is their chance to do something. They are well coached. I still think that they're a well coached team. They lost everybody from their 10-win season last year. They're starting a 17-year-old at quarterback. I don't really see them as threatening for North Texas. You know, you look at it on paper, North Texas should win this game. Again, we're the team that we think and that we hope and that we want to be. Then we should beat Old Dominion. You know, Old Dominion struggled winning their two games against Albany and UMass. They've been blown out by Virginia Tech, UNC, FAU killed them, you know. Marshall beat them 35-3, and then Western Kentucky 35-31. They have a spread offense. It's not really anything unusual or very different. They play hard and they have a solid scheme, but it's something that we should be able to handle. In the same way that FAU handled us, you know, like if we take some of those lessons, right, and apply them in this game, hey, press your advantage until the defense, you know, shows that they can stop it, and then keep pressing it to see if they can stop it more times than just the one time, like really stop it. That's a lesson to be learned there. It's a gut check reality time, but these kinds of things happen. Blowouts happen. Blowouts to this magnitude? No, they don't happen. But, you know, whatever. It's only one game. You know, we don't have to face FAU next week, and that's the good thing. And looking far off into the future, right, far off, if this team wants to get some kind of measure of revenge, there's a possibility that North Texas could face FAU one more time. And if you're like, oh, don't talk like that because, you know, it's not right. Again, I don't have to get ready. You guys work in accounting or something like that, right? You over there, you work as an insurance salesman or whatever it is, right? We don't prepare for Old Dominion. We don't prepare for that. We're fans and this is what we do, right? So we can't. I can look forward to it. I can sketch it out. It's part of the fun. So, you know, there you go. We don't need to take on the personality of the head coach. It's fine. We can get back to having some fun here in North Texas. It's a home game. It should be a fun game. North Texas should win this one. It should be... There's a lot of shoulds in there, right? It should be better than this one, more fun than this one. And next week, we should have Aldo on the podcast. So it's not just me talking at you the whole time. That one's on ESPN3 also. So hopefully we get some North Texas broadcasters on that one and not some of the very terrible, very awful FAU ones. I'll tell you some other things about this. FAU fans are really excited after the game starts, right? Nobody said anything to me, to us, tweeted at us before the game, only after the game. And also, nobody showed up to their game. That's got to be terrible. And if there's a reason, if there's a way for a reason for to that Lane Kiffin will leave, it's because they have a big, beautiful stadium, and it's in a nice, beautiful location, and nobody went to go see them win. It was homecoming or something like that, and there was nobody there. So there's a little indication of how tough it is in college football. That, you know, name head coach, amazing offense, record-setting performance the week before, and then, you know, so back-to-back weeks, it's like record-setting performances. There you go. I think, you know, let's get a good crowd out at Apogee. I think the buzz from the UTSA win is still there. Obviously, this is a missed opportunity, but, you know, there's still a lot of stuff to play for. I think there'll be a decent crowd at Apogee. I think that's it. Any other questions? No questions? Questions. Looking around, questions. If there's nothing else, ladies and gentlemen, I think we are done on this edition of the Mean Green Nation podcast. Sad edition. And I'm going to go have some sadmoses now. The wife bought some mimosas. You know, she made some stuff to make mimosas again. Then I'm going to go ride my bike in a big bike fest right here and try to get on with this week and feel good about life. I'll leave you with this. Yesterday, my kid, my super cute kid, did the UNT thing, the UNT Eagle. She did that, and it was the cutest thing ever. And maybe you should report me to, you know, child services for attaching her to a fan, attaching her to a team and making her a fan of a team that has not given all the best times every week. But, you know, good stuff. I felt real good about it, and so that made my day yesterday. You know, good stuff, y'all. Thanks for listening. Go Mean Green.